welcome once again to Thacker Mountain Radio, y'all. We're coming to you live tonight from Off Square Books, downtown Oxford, Mississippi. If you're not here, you're hearing us on Rebel Radio 92.1 FM or on the stations of Mississippi Public Broadcasting. Tonight's show features a reading by John Warner, special appearance by Mr. Rick Cleveland. We're going to have music tonight by Charlie Mars, The Water Liars, ladies and gentlemen, and some fine Mobile, Alabama bluegrass, Delta Rain.
When you're feeling way down low, ain't got no place to go, can't find a lover, can't find a friend, can't find a so-and-so, but your hand
Bushwhackers, y'all. Wallace Lester on the drums, Slade Lewis on the bass, Mark Iacobone on the piano, Jake Fussell on guitar and vocals, the Yellow Bushwhackers. They're hayseeds with a degree. They're moist. That's what the Wall Street Journal says, so it must be true. The Wall Street Journal called us moist. We've been in business many years now, Catherine. I think we finally were starting to scratch and get in there. Boy. All right, some great music now from the Delta region of the Mobile River down in South Alabama on the coast. I'm just thinking our band tonight's from Alabama and John's publisher is LSU Press. I'm thinking we sure evolved here. But man, I heard y'all warming up this afternoon. I thought, phew, is it a record? Is it a CD? And it was actually you folks in person.
Appreciate that.
Human beings. Is that new CD, Calm Before the Storm, or is that the latest one?
That's the latest one. We've got another one in the can due to be out in a month or two. So keep your ears open for Nothing But Sky. And that was actually, you heard part of that, the title cut, I think.
I got you. That was great. Well, now y'all all get to hear it. Y'all please welcome Delta Rain.
If you wish to
Wow. Wow, it's great to be here. Jim's good to see you. I know you probably don't remember. We were here about 8 years ago.
That's right. And I was working. We left a camera up there. I don't see it.
Just introduce everybody.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, back here on the bass in Gulfport, Mississippi, this is Josh Ball. And on the fiddle from the thriving metropolis of Harrison, Arkansas, this is George Mason. From Mobile, this is Benita Murphy on guitar and bass.
And on the banjo, my other half. We've been married for like 238 years. Because you do know that being married to a banjo player counts in dog years. Y'all do the math. Anyway, we'll do this other one that's going to be on our next album, and it's called Back Around the Mountain.
Del Duran, y'all. Mobile.
Sounding great, sounding great.
Boy, I hate it when they start a sentence with, you probably don't remember this, but 8 years ago, I'm thinking, I'm trying to remember lunch. But thank you, Del Duran. Boy, they are great. You see, and boy, it does. It sounds just letter perfect, like you're listening to a CD, and that fiddle player, so cool. All right, we're delighted to have our good buddy Rick Cleveland here with us. I bet many of you in the audience, newspaper readers, have read his writing over the years for the Clarion Ledger Daily News before that, maybe, Rick? The preeminent sports writer in Mississippi for years. you know, back when we had newspapers. Remember that. He is now executive director of the Mississippi Sports Hall of Fame. He's here with this great new book that he has put together, Mississippi's Greatest Athletes. Y'all please welcome Rick Cleveland.
Thank you, Jimbo.
Book's got some heft, man. Put it down. Talk about the book in just a second, but I wanted to give some of the audience who may not be familiar with your work, your career. When I mentioned you wrote for newspapers, the Clarion Ledger, not just singing them out, but back in the day, '80s, I guess, and '90s, they sent you to the World Series. They sent you to the Super Bowl, wherever it might be. They sent you to the Masters, right? Kentucky Derby. It's like another world, isn't it?
They don't do that anymore.
And if you could remember those years, that's the book I want to read. I know there's a lot of downtime at those events.
None of it was as good as this Mississippi football season.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but the reason I really wanted to establish that all that about your career is in all those years, the contacts you made, Archie Manning is one of your top confidants. Y'all are big buds. He actually wrote the foreword to this great book. So you were able to call in to get information because the book is almost encyclopedic. It goes through the Mississippi greatest athletes with great photos. And then your description of the athletes, some of them from the back in the 30s and 40s. So how did you go about the research?
Well, we have a lot of archives at the Hall of Fame, and then, you know, I covered this for 48 years.
That's what
so
I'm saying.
I had a lot of it.
You were paying attention too, weren't you?
Yeah, but I did find some stories that I had no idea about, like one of our charter inductees was Goat Hale. So named because he ran with his head down and butted people into next week. But he played for Mississippi College for 2 years, and then he enlisted in World War I and was shot and thought dead. And they found him in a remote hospital in France and brought him back to play his senior year at Mississippi College. And he scored 24 touchdowns. And drop kicked 24 extra points and helped Mississippi College beat Ole Miss 74-0.
Rick, I don't believe I told that. Cut that later. What year was that when they beat 70?
That would have been 1920.
Wow. Goat Hale.
Goat Hale.
That's like it sounds. So, but you cover all sports. You've got basketball in here. You got baseball in here.
Yeah, I got, and a lot of Olympic. Mississippi has produced as many pro football stars as we've produced, which is more pro football Hall of Famers per capita than any other state. We have also we've also produced an inordinate amount of Olympic gold medalists, and they're covered in there as well.
So this couple of years, you were just hogged down in the archives of your museum there and reading all these folks.
Yeah.
You've got it, it's all set up in years, by year.
Yeah, class by class. My one regret is that my good friend Mike Dennis, who's here tonight, just was elected to the Mississippi Sports Hall of Fame. Class of 2015, so he's not in the book, but Mike, where are you?
Congratulations, Mike. Thank you, Rick. I want to remind you that you are listening to Thacker Mountain Radio. You're hearing us on 92.1 FM Rebel Radio and on the stations of Mississippi Public Broadcasting. Be afraid, ladies and gentlemen. Be very afraid. I'd like to thank our sponsors, the Mississippi Arts Commission, Ron and Becky Fader Foundation, the good folks at Delta Magazine, also Visit Oxford, Visit Mississippi, Square Books, the good folks at the Lyric Theater, also AT&T, Yalabusha Brewery, y'all, Yalabusha Brewery, I can vouch for them. I had some the other night, went straight to bed, it was great. Cannon Motors, Mississippi Public Broadcasting, the Snooky and Mary Lou Williams Foundation of Water Valley, Mississippi. Right here. When y'all quit coming, I quit coming. That's it. Hell yeah. Bing, bing, snipers. The Ink Spot, Holworth & Associates Architecture Firm, Delta Music Institute, good Trisha Walker, the good folks at Trustmart Bank, our neighbors across the square, Boo Ray, and the generous members of the Thacker Mountain Radio family, thank you. Mark Iacobone on the thank you, scary piano music. Piano man, yeah. Thank you, Mark. All right, Charlie Mars, you world-traveling dog, you. You know, luckily, I work in the accounting business, so I'm on Facebook all day. And every time I look up, there you're in Minnesota, you're in Austin, you're in California, you're in New York City, and you're getting great reviews, and I'm so proud of you.
You gotta work to pay that Oxford, Mississippi.
He still lives here, and that's why we love him. The new CD is called The Money, and he works hard, and he's the man. I'm glad he's here. Y'all please welcome Charlie Mars.
Thank you. I thought I would do a song. I was house-sitting in Austin, Texas. They had a dog there, so I guess I was a dog-sitting too. And the dog's name was Mama. It was a bulldog. And through the course of my time there, I got emotionally attached to the dog, as well as I thought the dog could possibly pass away on my watch due to the fact that it was aged. And so I would make up little songs to the dog. This is one of the songs I made up. The dog's name was Mama. So I was going like this. Oh, Mama, I can see you getting older. Oh, Mama makes me wanna cry, cry, cry. And then I was in Jackson, Mississippi. I gave the dog back. And my mom lives there, and I was in the house where she lives, and I was playing that song, and she came into the bedroom. She said, "That song is so sweet that you're writing about me." So then I felt compelled to finish it, which I did, and the song panned out to not have a whole lot to do with my mother or the bulldog, but it's called Cry, Cry, Cry.
Oh, Mom, I can see you getting older. Oh, Mama makes me wanna cry, cry, cry. Some nights I've been waking up and I've been looking over my shoulder. But don't worry, Mama, don't worry, don't cry, cry, cry. 'Cause every now and then I wanna see my girl. When I called you, all I wanted was to hear your voice. But then I heard it and all I wanted to know, do you miss me, Carl? Do you miss me, 'cause I miss you so, oh. Lord, don't give me no daughter, and don't put her with a boy like me. She'll be running nights through Alabama, running nights through Tennessee. And summer nights she'll be waking up and she'll be looking over her shoulder. But don't worry, Mama, don't worry, don't cry. 'Cause every now and then I wanna see my girl. When I called you, all I wanted was to hear your voice. But then I heard it and all I wanted to know, when I called you, all I wanted was to hear your voice. But then I heard it and all I wanted to know, is do you miss me, Carl? Do you miss me, 'cause I miss you so, oh. Don't worry, Mama, don't worry, don't worry, Mama, don't worry, don't worry, Mama, don't worry, don't cry, cry, cry. 'Cause every now and then I wanna, every now and then I wanna see my girl. When I called you, all I wanted was to hear your voice. But Then I heard it and all I wanted to know. When I called you, all I wanted was to hear your voice. But then I heard it and all I wanted to. Then I heard it and all I wanted to. Then I heard it and all I wanted to know. Do you miss me, Carl? Do you miss me, cause I miss you so, oh. Don't worry, mama, don't worry, don't. Don't worry, mama, don't worry, don't. Don't worry, mama, don't worry, don't. Don't worry, mama, don't worry, don't cry, cry, cry.
Thank you. So I was in Jamaica. I was in the Grill, Jamaica. I was inspired by the people there and the food and the music. There was even a guy there selling inspiration on the beach there if you needed it. And I wrote this song while I was there. It's called The Money. It's the first single off my new album. And it's kind of a sing-along. I'll teach you real quick. And if you feel so inclined, you can sing whenever I say. In my head, all you got to do is go. Like a rocket, have you got it off Square Books? In my head. I'll give you a 4. We can get to a 10. Thought when we got the money we could buy the pain away. But then we got it, and when we got it the money wanted to stay. In my head, like a rocket, girl, you know I can't stop it. I thought when we got the money, I thought when we got the money, oh, I thought when we got the money maybe things could be okay. Me and my baby go, me and my baby go down to that island, we ride around in a limousine. I be soaking up the sun, she reading that Vogue magazine. And I keep her in my head
like a rocket.
Girl, you know I can't stop it. I thought when we got the money, I thought when we got the money, oh, I thought when we got the money, maybe things could be okay. I don't know why me and my baby go down, yeah. I don't know, I don't know, I don't know why me and my baby go down, yeah. I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. But if I could make everything alright, maybe I would. I thought if we got the money, we could buy the pain away. Then we got it, and when we got it, honey, I wanted to stay. In my head,
like a rocket.
Girl, you know I can't stop it. In my head,
like a rocket.
Woo. Girl, you know I can't stop it. In my head,
like a rocket.
Girl, you know I can't stop it. I thought when we got the money, I thought when we got the money. In my head, like a rocket, girl, you know I can't stop it. In my head, like a rocket, girl, you know I can't stop it. In my head, like a rocket, girl, you know I can't stop it. Oh, I thought when we got the money, maybe things could be okay. Thank you.
Charlie Mars, y'all. Oxford's own. We claim him.
The Money is the name of the new CD, and I bet he brought copies with him. Great job. Thank you, Charlie. Wonderful. I love the whole thing with the dog. Very funny, yeah. All right, A Tough Day for the Army, this collection of stories by John Warner. It is from Louisiana State University Press, but it's hilarious and sad and unsettling and all within one paragraph sometimes, which is what they said about you. The previous novel is The Funny Man. He has three other books out. He's also a columnist at Printer's Row, which is the literary supplement of the Tribune, and also an editor at McSweeney's, one of our favorite publishers. Again, the stories are called Tough Day for the Army. Y'all please welcome John Warner.
Thank you. Thank you. What a pleasure. I, too, have a story about a dog. Coincidentally. Inspired by my dog, but this is not my dog. My wife wanted me to be clear about that. It's called My Dog and Me. I've been experiencing dissatisfaction with my dog. As a dog, he's not bad. Sleeps at appropriate times, fetches with moderate to high enthusiasm, never messes in the apartment, except that one time I temporarily lost track of where we lived and hadn't been home for maybe 36 hours. When I walked in and smelled the mess and saw the stain on the carpet and that one of the couch cushions had been disassembled, he was the one who looked upset. I couldn't blame him. I dropped the ball. That was my bad. But as a source of artistic inspiration, he's substandard. I go to the bookstore a lot, and right near the front, there's a whole section of books about dogs. Some of these books are even narrated or somehow written by the dogs themselves. I watch people approach the section with the dog books and their faces do something really interesting, like their skin is melting off their bones, which sounds gross. What I mean to say is that they look relaxed, peaceful. See, if my dog were more inspirational, I wouldn't grab these wrong-sounding metaphors and make people enjoying a private moment of reverie look like ghouls. In these books, the dogs are very busy saving people. Sometimes it's a family, other times a whole town. The titles are all like unusual dog name, the story of a dog that saved the thing that needed saving. It's a formula, but it must work because just look at all these books. My dog does have a good name for a book title. His name is Oscar. But Oscar, the story of a dog that does just about what you'd expect a dog would do most of the time, doesn't have much of a hook. He does bark whenever he hears the choo-choo-choo sound that accompanies someone choosing a double Jeopardy square. Oscar and I watch Jeopardy together every day, me shouting the answers at the television, him barking at the double Jeopardy sound. It's something of a highlight for both of us. The most popular dog-centric books involve this Labrador named Marley, who has inspired multiple titles and even written several on his own for children. All this despite having been dead for quite a few years. Apparently, Marley is famous for teaching a young attractive couple how to live unconditionally so they could be good parents and even better people. In the first Marley book, Marley's owner says, quote, "Marley taught me about living each day with unbridled exuberance and joy, about seizing the moment and following your heart." But I read that book and watched about 18 minutes of the movie inspired by it. And mostly what I think Marley teaches us is that as long as you're a dog, you can get away with being a total raging a-hole. You can say a lot of things about my dog, but he's no a-hole. One of the books is about a dog who rescued people from the Twin Towers. Out of patriotic duty, I brought that one home, but I don't really want to read it. I have a hunch I'm not alone on that front. My dog never rescued anybody. Au contraire, I rescued him. And from his perspective, it was a real lottery moment, given the sheer number of his canine brethren lined up in cages stacked from floor to ceiling at the shelter he called home at the time. I went down a row, peering into each cage at the candidate inside. Some barked viciously. Some barked friendishly. Some pressed their noses or paws to the bars. A woman who volunteered at the shelter was following me, offering a kind of color commentary about each of the dogs. This one likes his belly scratched. She just loves to cuddle. He's great with children. I wondered if she took each dog home for a test drive, like car salesmen will do with the new models, so they can speak knowledgeably to customers about handling and acceleration. I said to her, "Which one goes 0 to 60 fastest?" "We've got some greyhounds in the pens outside," she replied. and I realized that once again I'd made most of the joke in my head. The woman looked like one of those people who used to be really overweight but then got the stomach surgery so they deflate. But what's left is a sort of skin sack that the fatter person used to live in. I admired the sacrifice, the dedication it must have taken to see the process through. I figured the woman worried she might be too ugly to love, something I often feared about myself. Being ugly in the dog world is actually a virtue. The books about the dogs that save things often have pictures of these dogs on the cover, and very few are classically handsome. In fact, the odder looking the dog, the more people it seems to have saved. One of the dog book stars, a pit bull mix, was missing an ear and had a jagged scar circling one eye, like someone had tried to carve the eye out of his head with something simultaneously sharp and dull. This dog had saved himself, as well as several others, because of his indomitable spirit. Based on his looks, if this dog was a human and an actor, he'd be playing junkies and pederasts exclusively. But at the bookstore, I saw one young and pretty girl disengage from the boyfriend whose arm she had been clutching so she could pick up the book and coo at the cover image. So cute. Finally, there at the end of the row in a cage at eye height was Oscar. He was sitting upright, mostly alert, looking straight at me. His eyes were and are black, unexpressive, but very, very deep, like two pools of oil. The placard on the cage called him Fluffy, but I saw through that. This one doesn't do much, the woman said. I can relate. She looked at the floor. I figured maybe she could relate too. His name is Oscar, I said. She put some glasses that had been dangling around her neck by a chain up onto her nose and looked at the placard. It says here that it's Fluffy. It's wrong, I said. I pointed at Oscar. He's perfect, I said. But what I probably meant was, he's good enough. I took him home and we began our lives together, and at least until I realized that he's below par as a muse and or savior, it was pretty good. We had Jeopardy. We had walks in the morning and afternoon where people would often look at him and smile, and then their eyes would reach up to mine and they'd still be smiling. When I'd weep inexplicably at something showing on the television, he'd leave the room, which I thought I appreciated, as it allowed me a little dignity and privacy, until I realized this behavior was inconsistent with him saving me. I yelled at his retreating back, "You're not doing the job, pal. Not acceptable. You're not showing me anything about how to live life with this walking away business." But nothing stopped the clack of his nails on the wood floor as he retreated to our bedroom. So this afternoon, after the walk and before Jeopardy, I decide to read one of the dog books aloud to Oscar to see if maybe it will provide some inspiration. This one is a real doozy. It's about a man trapped in his house by Hurricane Katrina, and because of the swelling in his legs due to the diabetes, he can't go out or go for help. For 7 days, while he waits for rescue, his two Dobermans scavenge for food and bring it back to the man. It's the perfect kind of book because even in the most desperate parts, you sense that it's all going to be okay, since no one would publish this book if the man died horribly. Maybe even urging the Dobermans to feed on his corpse so they could live. When Oscar looks like he's about to fall asleep, I read louder. When one of the many amazing things happens, I mark my place with a finger and look directly at him and say, "Can you believe this? This is freaking amazing." He seems unimpressed, like he's heard it all before. "Would you rather I read about Marley?" I say. It's a pretty short book, and the reading doesn't take all that long. There's a happy ending, just as I suspected. The man had to have a leg amputated because the dogs couldn't scavenge insulin, but he lived, which is what we're told counts above everything else. He refused to leave the house until the rescuers promised to bring the dogs with. They all live in Mississippi now. After finishing, I look up, and Oscar is indeed sleeping on his side in the daylight slanting through the windows. Almost time for his dinner, then his walk, then Jeopardy, then more television, then bed. It's about the loyalty pal, man's best friend. Still on his side, Oscar stretches and grunts and blows air out of his cheeks, which is one of the more endearing things he does. He rolls from his side to his belly and rises to his haunches like a yogi. Would you do for me what those dogs did for that man, I say? Would you save me like I saved you? He stands and yawns and shakes the sleep out of his head, his ears thwapping. Oscar has also noticed that it is near dusk. He walks into the kitchen area and sits next to the cabinet where we keep the food. He does this sometimes. Who am I kidding? He does this every day. Have I ever forgotten? I say. He looks back at me with those bottomless eyes. Except the one time, I mean, which I've apologized for. He lies down in front of the cabinet, chin on his paws. I see myself on the couch reflected distantly in his eyes. What are you teaching me about life and living, I say. Tell me. His tail swishes the air behind him, stirring some dust motes. When he's really excited, his tail takes the shape of a comma, arcing over his back. My dog doesn't speak or write or even inspire books. But in this moment, I think I get the message. This is next, he is saying. Life is about whatever you do next. Thank you.
Very good, thank you. John Warner. Great job, man. A Tough Day for the Army is the name of this fine collection of stories. 17 years in the making. I was telling him, and he admitted, yeah, he stayed with it. And another box load that didn't make this one, so we look forward to the next volume. And John will visit with us after the show and sign copies and talk more about A Tough Day for the Army. Thank you so much, John. Great reading. All right, The Water Liars. I mean, you know, as soon as a band names themselves after a Hannah short story, I'm thinking, I like them. It's that first story in that great collection of airships. These guys have been doing very well for yourselves, I must say. He goes, not so much. The third album is called Water Liars, and they've been touring around with it. So, like I say, it's album number 3. I like this nice review you guys got from National Public Radio. You know, they know all about soul and jazz and folks from Mississippi and the South, don't they? They're right in here with us. Amid the rough around the edges folk rock, there is an airy simplicity.
Sounds about right.
You didn't get moist. Y'all please welcome the Water Liars.
Hey, fittingly enough, this song is the song they were talking about. Thank you. by a carillon and some roses. And I was an owl's ghost who died on the side of the road. She laid her head on my shoulder. She nibbled on my earlobe. And that was about all. My blood was my own. It done what it pleased to. And there ain't much more to say. I'm alive on the highway, dead on arriving. That's no way to live this life.
Thanks, Joe. This song is on our newest record. And if you come over to Larry's in a while, you'll see us play it.
Made from
Water Liars, y'all. Water Liars. And as they said, they will be at Proud Larry's tonight. I imagine turning up the volume a little bit and rocking a little more out there. We appreciate them coming by this afternoon. One more time for the Water Liars. Great guys. Great music. Well, we thank y'all so much for coming. What a delightful evening we've had. If you don't mind, we'd like to thank all our guests one more time. Mr. Charlie Mars, y'all. His new album, The Money, Charlie Mars. John Warner, y'all. John Warner. Tough Day for the Army. Delta Rain, y'all. How about Delta Rain? I'm looking to hear some of them right now. And the Water Liars one more time. Yeah. I'm told to ask for money. There is an opening at Southside. I don't have the name here of the artist right after our show. And also, Charlie's brother, Chad, has an exhibit up at Oxford Floral. So that's a very art. Yeah, so we appreciate them. Remember the spirits of Yottamatoppa County at the Powerhouse this weekend, the 30th, 31st, November 2nd. That'll be fun. And again, all our guests, we thank all of y'all for coming to see us. I think we've got four more shows this year, y'all. So we appreciate y'all coming out, and we're going to try to make every one of them go out on a big one. And next week will be no exception. We're going to be right here at All Square Blues. I think the rest of them here will have Libby Ray Watson will be here, one of the great blues players. We'll have Ann the Echo, brand new Oxford band. And we're going to have author Robert Ross will be here.